There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on a Friday afternoon. I want to check in with my buddy Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins because I know it's getting into the crunch time for folks that are shopping for Father's Day, or Angelo, is it Father's afternoon or hour? How much should we get?
Yeah, usually I would say probably an hour to an hour and a half. That's sort of my estimation. How about you? What are you thinking? Or if the missus is listening, you may not want to answer that.
Father's 90 minutes. Yeah, that's all
there
right.
There you go.
Yeah, it's
there
all right.
You go.
Let's talk about
it
what you have.
It sounds better if you say 90 minutes rather than an hour and a half.
Right, so, makes it seem longer and more robust. And I want to talk, well, I got some things in mind I'd like to dally on so they hear of the gifts, ideas I'd like. But maybe we get to that last. Talk about other gift ideas for Dad other than the ones you know I'm going to go to.
Well, exactly. And we know what Sean likes. But if you start at the other side of the shop, we've got a lot of cool pieces of jewelry, some of which are engravable. You are running out of time on that engraving. You pretty much have to get out, like, now if you want something engraved for Father's Day. But we have money clips, keychains, all sorts of, you know, signet rings, all sorts of nice pieces of jewelry for guys, cufflinks, tie tacks, things of that nature. All sorts of cool and rare coins. We've talked about the Morgan silver dollars, those ancient Roman coins. And then, of course, we can always finish off with the coolest section of the shop. Right, Sean?
That's right. Well, at least for me, the selection of Opinel knives that you turned me on to a couple years ago, and I am now just a big fan.
Well, they're great designs, cool knives. Most people in the United States have never seen or heard of the darn things, and they've got everything from a little keychain knife to a nice size number 8 outdoor knife to even kitchen sets. And I mean, they have a full kitchen set from a butcher knife all the way down to bone knives, so tons of variety there.
Yeah, and it's great because you can get something, like you said, with that variety. I've gotten gardening sets for my mother in the past. I've gotten the outdoors knives for me, the keychain knives for friends, the bigger knives for friends as well. And you said somebody came in the other day and bought a whole bunch of them. I did that, a year and a half ago. That's pretty much a great idea if you want to get some gifts just when you forget about something or it's a last-minute party. Those knives are great to have ready to go.
Well, they're reasonably priced. I mean, the average size knife is $12 to $25, so it's an inexpensive gift. Like you said, come in and get one for Dad for Father's Day, and then grab an extra one or two as spares. So when you have forgotten something, or you get that last-minute invite, you don't have to rush around and panicking. You've got a backup gift right there and ready.
All right, give us directions to come check out those knives and everything else at Mobile Bay Coins.
Yeah, we're in Midtown, 2204 Government Street. You can always call us at 725-1590, or better yet, go on to Facebook and check out some of the pictures there. Just find us at Mobile Bay Coin.
Thank you, man. Have a great weekend.
You too, Sean.
Thank you, Angelo. Before we get to the we're going to get 6.5 stories with Dalton Orwig here in a second, but I know there'll be... Oh, I've actually seen some questions here for us for the outdoor show. So tomorrow morning at 7, Mike Ward and I host FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Somebody said, what about this shark fishing deal? Okay, so I think we can do this in the time we have remaining. The story from WKRG and other spots had said a limited shark fishing season is set to begin next week off Gulf State Park Pier. Special permits will be issued the next two Tuesday nights from 8 to midnight. 10 fishermen will be allowed special permits each night. The state will evaluate how the nights go, and the season could expand if things go well. On the two nights of shark fishing, the south end of the pier is going to close for routine use 30 minutes before the event and reopen 30 minutes after the shark fishing period ends. People who are interested in this can apply by phone or online. You can go to Outdoor Alabama, do it there. Phone number 251-967-FISH. 251-967-FISH. Each angler selected can have one rod and reel. They'll be allowed to have two assistants there. Okay, so, but so I saw this earlier. Somebody said, well, what's the deal with this? Okay, in the past, you've not been able to target sharks on Gulf State Pier. You couldn't, I mean, I guess sometimes people would catch them because they were catching something else, and the shark came up and got that, got a hook in it. But you couldn't have, like, big reel, like 4-aughts or bigger, you know, like a even a snapper size reel, big 4-aught or 6-aught or obviously on up in size. You couldn't have those on the pier, which was a way to prevent there being really any shark fishing of note going there. Now, people have complained at Gulf State Park Pier that they're catching whatever else it is. They're catching Spanish mackerel, a speckled trout, a redfish, whatever. Catch a ground mullet, and here come the sharks after it. So they've been pushing to do something about the sharks around Gulf State Pier. Well, this is one of the tests. One of the ideas they're trying to do is have this certain area, maybe at night, to do this. But they're, once again, doing this slowly and testing it and seeing if it works. So once again, this is Tuesday nights. It is a limited deal, limited special permits to see how it works. 10 fishermen, Tuesday nights. I think it's going to go for at least two Tuesday nights in a row. You have to go online and apply, and they're going to select those 10 people to come out and fish on those Tuesday nights. You can go to the website, which is actually, you can go to Alla Park. Okay, it wasn't Outdoor Alabama. They'll send you to allapark.com, and you can go there. Or you can just call 251-967-FISH. I'm going to put this story up on my Twitter feed. You can catch it there and get the details. If you're one of those people who wants to go out and chase sharks at Gulf State Park Pier, which I tell you the thing about it, I've always thought it's kind of unfair to the people on the pier fishing with those rules, because I could come in and on the other side in a boat and do the same thing. I mean, I understand what the pier folks are trying to do in the past, but now they've got an issue with the sharks around there. So a higher density of sharks than they would be in any other little stretch there along the beach. So we'll let you know what's going on with that. All right, coming back after the break, it's 6.5 Stories with Dalton Norwig. Yeah, stories that I have missed during the week, he found them. If they were stories that I lost, he found them. Some of them, I've seen his list in the past. I probably wouldn't have wanted in the first place, but he found them, and he's bringing them to us. And we'll do that next right here on Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 in Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Friday. Get ready for some 6.5 stories with Dalton Norwig. Also, heads up here tonight, another great event at Cottage Hill Package. Cigar event tonight with La Flor Dominica products. Special deals on all La Flor Dominica products tonight, plus your chance to grab a plate of some traditional Cuban cuisine and take home some free swag while you're at it. Whole event's free to enter, starts tonight at 6, and if a free cigar event is not enough for you, up front, so that's in the back in the lounge, up front, the folks from Biloxi Brewing will be there hosting a tasting of their beers, their Biloxi Blonde Ale, Biloxi Pale Ale, and the Salty Dog Ghosts, all happening at exactly the same time. Nice thing, too, is while you're there enjoying those events, what a great opportunity to get some gifts for Dad for Father's Day. Father's Day, of course, coming up on Sunday. And if he likes craft beer, cigars, fine spirits, wines, all right there. Cottage Hill Package, corner of Cottage Hill and Hillcrest, online at cottagehillpackage.com, or find him on Facebook and see you out there tonight. Cuban food and some cigars and craft beers, I'm down for that. All right, I did mention it is Friday, and it is time for 6.5 Stories with Dalton Norwig. I said 6.5 story. There.
Yes.
The fanfare and the man enters. These are 6.5 stories that I completely missed this week. They were bouncing around the web.
Surprisingly. Yeah. And it's tough.
Go figure.
Tough to get them past you because we cover lots of stories here on FM Talk 106.5.
Net minding.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. I've just got a big old net, and I scrape it across the internet. So net Lord knows, and internet.
Lord knows what you come up with, but you got some for us.
Right, yeah. So we kick things off today in Oklahoma City at a restaurant called Twin Peaks.
Whoa, Twin Peaks. Yeah. I've not been to a Twin Peaks before, but I've heard kind of how the Twin Peaks work.
I have been to Twin Peaks.
Yes.
Multiple times.
Yes.
Gotta say, I like the restaurant.
Yes.
Maybe not the food as much. They've got some good food. Beer's good.
More the setting.
The setting.
Okay.
Setting is really good.
Yeah.
Well, 34-year-old Rachel Tyler.
Yeah.
She was arrested She was arrested by police at 10 p.m. last Thursday.
Yeah.
After her manager reported that she was stealing at work. That's a big no-no.
Yeah.
For employees at restaurants or employees anywhere.
Yeah. Don't steal.
No,
yeah.
Don't. And the manager told police she saw Tyler swiping customers' credit cards by one of her pockets every single time that she would ring someone up. Hint. She might have been doing something there. After reviewing the surveillance footage, the manager determined that Tyler was using a skimmer to collect credit card information from the customers who she was ringing up.
We've heard about these scams before, right? These skimmers where they use them a gas pump sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm probably more worried about that than I actually should be. So I use a credit card every time I go because...
Versus a debit card.
Yeah, if you use your debit card, they can clean you out.
Yep, me
too. I'm not sure there's so much you can do about that. While watching the security footage, the manager said she saw Tyler scan 4 to 5 cards on her skimmer. So a waitress gets caught skimming cards, stealing from customers.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably not very uncommon. I'm sure that happens around the United States.
Yeah, I hope not, but you're probably right.
But what is odd about this story is that it was Tyler's first day on the job after being rehired by the restaurant. She didn't even wait one day.
Day one.
To be rehired by Twin Peaks to start stealing from customers. The manager told police that Tyler actually had worked at the restaurant within the past year, but just quit coming to work.
That's also a thing that gets. So we told you, stealing can get you fired. Also, prospective employees not coming to work.
Yeah, not showing up. That'll get you fired.
That'll get you fired.
The restaurant thought maybe she'd gotten past that part of her life, gotten past that phase.
They're not showing up, yeah.
So they rehired her last week,
mm-hmm.
and then they caught her skimming cards on her first day back. Tyler was booked into Oklahoma City Jail, or Oklahoma County Jail, early Friday morning, remained there on a $2,000 bond as of Monday.
Well, this is good cautionary tales. Folks out looking for a gig, don't not show up and don't steal. And those are, I mean, some of the things that can get you on the right foot in this work, yeah. in this business. Yes.
Just following those two rules,
yes.
you'll probably be
show
off to a
to
good
work
start.
And don't steal stuff.
That's right. Sometimes on 6.5 Stories, I bring you glorious, and some of them certainly are glorious, stories of world record breakers.
Oh, yeah.
Have those often. But sometimes have to show the other side of the coin.
Uh-oh.
Have to share those stories of wannabe world record holders
Uh-oh.
Who never quite meet their goal. This story, unfortunately, falls into that latter category.
Okay.
The organizers of an event in Las Vegas, they call this event Sin City, and I guess they were on the 8th iteration of Sin City. Sin City 8.
Okay.
They were attempting to set a world record on Saturday, June the 2nd. That record, the world's largest, and, I don't know if I can say that. Can I say this word,
Sean? Let me see the word. No, you can't say it. Well, you could, but no, we're not going to say that word.
Let's say it rhymes with Georgie and Porgy.
Okay.
The world's largest Georgie Porgy.
Georgie Porgy.
Okay. How about
what?
Adulting party.
Exactly.
Okay.
Grown-up fun time gathering.
There you go.
Okay, well, good.
Okay,
good.
So they're trying to set the world record for the largest grown-up fun time gathering. And Menage a Life. Menage. I'm going to say Menage.
Okay. Like Menage, right.
Menage Life. That's the group that organized this event.
Yeah.
And I
haven't seen that sticker. I've seen Salt Life and Mud Life. This, I've not seen Menage Life.
You haven't driven behind me then.
Okay.
Well, I presume they also organized Sin City 1 through Sin City 7. I'm not sure how
those were classics. Those were classics.
Despite having more than 1,000 registrants for this Sin City 8 event, only 375 of them made it to Sin City 8 that Saturday.
Okay. I got to stop you, because if they're trying to break a record,
mm-hmm.
somebody else has set the record?
Yes. Do you want to know where the record was set?
Not really, but yes.
Okay, Japan. And the record is 500 participants in Japan set this record back in 2006, ages ago.
So, I mean, so there were 500 people in Japan that had grown-up fun time together.
Right.
Set the record, and then... These folks out in Vegas, they're going to beat that record.
And
their plan,
They thought they had it in the bag. I mean, they had 1,000 people register for the event.
Right.
Like I said, only 375 showed up. So, like any organization worth their salt,
right.
like Menage Life, certainly right. is.
Sure, of course they are.
They released
reputable.
They released a press release after the event, trying to paint their disappointment in a positive light.
Yeah.
You know how so many organizations do.
Sure, and these kind of groups, sure.
Well, the release read, "We didn't beat the world record, but we were still able to host an amazing event, considering the circumstances our team had to overcome.
That's right.
You may wonder, what circumstances?
What would be the impediments for the world's largest porgy?
Yeah, porgy. The world's largest porgy. Well, anytime you plan a big adulting party,
uh-huh,
and you go on all these press tours beforehand to promote that party,
mm-hmm,
maybe you shouldn't plan for the event to be held at, I don't know, the Embassy Suites, like they originally planned.
We're going to be down in the Schooner Ballroom, the Schooner Ballroom at the Embassy Suites.
That's right. They had to change the location of Sin City 8 twice. The first time because late-night host Stephen Colbert heard they were planning on setting this record.
Right.
Of course, he made fun of it on his show.
Yeah.
And then Hilton found out about it. I guess big watchers of Colbert's show. And Hilton shut down the event because they run that other
Embassy
hotel,
Suites.
Embassy Suites.
So they said there will be, we've heard that you have booked some rooms at a discounted rate for your adult fun time adventure, but we're going to say no.
Yeah, so they scratched. No Embassy Suites. But can you imagine if you stayed at the Embassy Suites that week?
That would be the week. That's when the Sullivans would be checking in. The kids and everything. I'd be at the Embassy Suites. They'd be rolling in with all the bags and the stupid cart with the bad wheel and all that stuff. And that would be going on in the lobby.
Yeah.
That's my luck.
Or if you go down to get the complimentary breakfast the next morning, and you got all these characters rolling into the Embassy Suites breakfast room. Well, after that Embassy Suites plan fell through, they moved the adulting party to a place called the Erotic Heritage Museum.
Wow, seems like an apt place.
Yeah, you'd think that they'd be able to hold it there.
Yeah.
Well, local officials did not agree. They forced yet another venue change, this time just hours before go time.
Yeah.
That's when they did that. So the event planners announced they would now be breaking the record at the Green Door Club.
The Green Door, okay.
That's the place with the green door.
I was thinking it was going to be a storage unit somewhere, but yeah, okay.
That was plan four, plan D, if all these fell through. Well, maybe it was all the venue changes, or maybe a lot of pranksters signed up for the event without actually planning on attending.
Yeah.
But Menage Life will unfortunately have to wait until Sin City 9 in 2019 to attempt to break the record one more time.
Rebuilding year for them.
Yeah.
And was this... Because when the Guinness World Book of Records thing is done, Guinness usually, I think, sends somebody there to sign off on it. I got to ask, I mean, is there any word that there would be a representative from Guinness that would stand there during this thing going on?
I was reading about this before the event when they were putting out all the press releases. And Guinness Book of World Records said, yeah, actually, we're not going to send anybody to this event. We don't really want our name associated with this.
But Scott from the mailrooms volunteered five times. But
yeah, everybody was volunteering.
Right.
But Guinness did not want anyone there. I guess Menage Life, I don't know if they have a clicker, like somebody coming into a club and they click, click, click. All right, we're almost to 500. But they're honest because they could have said they went ahead and broke the record. Only 375 showed up. I guess it never really hurts to try anyway. So they probably went ahead and followed through with the event. They're going to have to wait until next year to finish that up.
We're going to have to say this one may make the yearly wrap-up of 6.5 stories. All right, one more here before we go to the break.
Okay, we'll head over to Britain for story number three here. What kind of weird stuff are they doing these days in the UK?
Okay.
I'll go ahead and answer that question for you. Real weird stuff. Like, real weird.
Okay.
Like holding sexiest cow contests. That's what's going on in the UK these days. We're over here in America holding the Miss USA pageants and bikini contests.
Yeah, they got the sexy cow contest.
Yeah, the Brits are judging the sexiness of their livestock. If you're wondering which pretty heifer won this contest.
Sure I am, on the edge of my seat.
Her name is Char. And her owner's name is Charlotte Cunningham.
Uh-huh.
Imagine she was named after her owner. Char competed against 39 other beautiful bovine that had survived a grueling, and I tell you, grueling selection process.
Yes.
They arrived to Colne Valley, UK from all across the United Kingdom.
Right.
In this article, they specifically name one of the judges as Charles Reeder, cattle judge, as if everyone should just know who Charles Reeder, the cattle judge, is.
Oh, sure.
The Charles Reeder. I picture he's kind of like Simon Cowell in the old American Idol days when he's judging these cattle. Or maybe there's a Paula Abdul there too, Randy Jackson. Well, eventually the competition came down to three cows.
As it always does.
Char, Tetford Twinkle from Tetford, England, and Bonnie the Cow from Suffolk, England.
Right.
Char won because her hair was brushed back all pretty-like.
Right.
She also has some white accents above her eyes that look like she's wearing some mascara.
Oh, my Lord.
And that's all I've got for the story.
Just okay,
like everyone should know that there is such thing.
Yeah, and this is going on. You know, I've come from farm and family, been to more than one cattle auction in my day. But in those cattle auctions, there wasn't talent evening dress? were there different categories in this for the cows? Or was it just one thing, or
best,
did they have to...
Best tail whip, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, they had to have, like, different... Okay, well, I just wondered what that breakdown was.
We'll have to look up the categories.
All right, well, let's do this. Well, I'll run to the break, come right back. More of 6.5 Stories with Dalton Orwig. And you can catch, I think, at least one of those stories making the yearly roundup.
I think so.
I know it's only the 6 months of the year, but look out December 2018. I think one of those stories makes the cut, if not maybe two. Coming right back. More Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, 6.5 Stories with Dalton Orwig. It is a Friday. This is how we do it on Friday. All those great stories, like some of them that just happened there, how I missed those, I don't know. What story are we on?
Story number four now.
All right, story number four.
Quattro. All right. Well, here at FM Talk 106.5, you know we like to give our props to emergency crews.
Mm-hmm.
And they spring into action to save lives.
Yes.
It's exactly what happened in Evergreen, Colorado last weekend when the Evergreen Fire Rescue Team had to save a life on a rescue mission.
Okay.
So the rescue team got a call from a family who told the team that while hiking the Maxwell Falls Trail, one of their family members was exhausted and could not travel any farther. That family member was named Cato. He's the family's 5-year-old 120-pound Great Pyrenees.
Okay, those are cool dogs.
The dog could not travel any farther. Stacy Martin, she's the public information officer with the Evergreen Fire Department, and she told a local news station, "We heard dog in distress, and a bunch of us showed up." Martin said that Cato looked grateful to see his rescuers, just like a lot of their human patients do when the fire department shows up to help.
Right.
She said the department used the same device to carry Cato that they used to transport other hikers in distress, basically this stretcher looking thing that they carried him out on.
Right.
And they didn't dog shame Cato like some other fire rescue teams might have.
Dog shame.
Of course, he got so tuckered out. She said the trail has a lot of ups and downs,
yeah,
and some very steep parts. So they weren't blaming Cato for running out of gas there. The family will not have to pay for the rescue because the Evergreen Fire Department is made up exclusively of volunteers. Martin said, "We choose to help animals. Doesn't matter if it's a horse stuck in the mud or owls that fall out of the nest."
Okay, well, that's legitimate. Like, when I go on these little bit of tears about rescues, it's when you do something that you should have some expectation of having a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Taking your dog on a hike, you know, you should, I mean, he might be a little chubby, but yeah. I mean, usually dogs can handle it.
And this was a real furry dog, too.
Yeah, Great Pyrenees are they're furry. They're neat dogs. But so, you know, I'm with him. I wouldn't charge him either.
No, but it was a cute story.
Yeah.
You have to look up the pictures. I'll post this on my Twitter feed, actually, when we're done with this.
Which is?
At Dalton Orwig.
All right, good job.
That's where you got to follow. So if you've listened to 6.5 Stories before, you've likely heard me and Sean making fun of Florida Man.
Oh, yes.
There's no shortage of stories to make fun of Florida Man.
He's a spring. He's just like the umpteen springs in Florida that bubble water up,
uh-huh,
the state bubbles stories up for us.
That's right. Unfortunately, much to my chagrin, another state that I'm very familiar with is quickly catching up to the amount of stupid stories
really?
That come out of the state of Florida. Could Tennessee Man become the next Florida Man?
Well, it's a SEC East challenge.
It is. If this next guy has anything to do with that challenge,
yeah,
then yeah, Tennessee Man could very quickly become the next Florida Man.
Okay.
Police in East Tennessee, in a town called Madisonville, arrested a man at Walmart who fought them in his underwear and cowboy boots. Just underwear and cowboy boots.
Which at certain Walmarts here at certain times of night around our area, that's costume de rigueur.
Yeah, you have to wear that to show up. Police were responding to a report of a fight at the Walmart in Madisonville. Officers were confronted by 28-year-old James Bradley Hodge. Hodge was screaming and cursing.
Of course
and
he was.
And yes, wearing just his underwear and cowboy boots. Madisonville Police Patrolman Daniel Martin and Kyle Day, they were nice. They tried to get Hodge to go home with his friends.
Yeah.
But then the man in underwear and cowboy boots became belligerent and started to walk away from the officers. Day said that he grabbed Hodge's arm, but the man resisted. Hodge then hit the officer in the face.
Bad choice.
As the patrolman attempted to handcuff him, and Hodge of Madisonville, Tennessee, was arrested, charged with public intox, disorderly conduct, and resisting arrest. and bad fashion choices.
Who would have imagined that the person in their cowboy boots and underwear might have been an issue?
Here I am profiling again. I wouldn't have even given him a chance. I would have just arrested him right off the bat.
Just walked up and tased him.
Of course, no matter how hard Tennessee man tries, Florida man's still the best or the worst.
Let's see. What's he bringing?
Okay. According to Putnam County Sheriff's Office, Douglas Peter Kelly, which, by the way, all three of the criminals that I've mentioned today, they all have first name, last names.
Yes.
Douglas Peter Kelly, James Bradley, and Rachel Tyler.
So there's a theme to that.
There is a theme. Well, this Douglas Peter Kelly of Hawthorne, Florida, contacted deputies on Tuesday, so you think maybe he would be the victim of a crime.
Right, yeah. If you contact deputies, hey, I got a problem. Can you come help me?
He thought he was the victim of a crime. He said he thought he'd been sold bad drugs. That's what his complaint to the police officer was. I love these stories.
I love them.
The police report, they put this on Facebook, says that the man told deputies that he'd purchased some meth about a week beforehand and had suffered a violent reaction after taking it. Imagine that. Like, a violent reaction from the meth.
Versus, like, what did he expect to have happen?
It wasn't the usual reaction.
Okay.
Just say that. Suspect went on to demand that detectives in the narcotics division test his meth for him. To see if it was cut with something or if he'd been sold something else. And if he was indeed sold the wrong kind of meth, then he wanted to press charges against the dealer.
Maybe part of a class action suit or something like that.
Could have gotten real dicey.
You ought to check.
Dealer.
You get a meth like that, check if there's been a recall on it. You know, there might be listeria or salmonella or something with your, you get a bad, return it to where you bought it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the local news stations would have been all over that for the recall. deputies told the 49-year-old to come on over to the station. Of course, they'd test his meth for him.
Yeah.
The report said, quote, Kelly drove to the sheriff's office and handed detectives a clear, crystal-like substance wrapped in aluminum foil. Now, see, I hear that when you're on meth, your mind isn't exactly right.
This might be a clue.
The substance did test field positive for methamphetamine, which is what Kelly had intended to purchase. So I guess he got what he bought.
Yeah.
But then he was charged with drug possession.
You don't say.
They walked him on over to the county jail, held him on a $5,000 bond. The department posted on their Facebook page, remember, our detectives are always ready to assist anyone who believes they're misled in their illegal drug purchase. Public notice, if you believe you were sold bad drugs, we are offering a free service to test them for you.
You know, they probably ought to do that. I've been joking about the recall thing, but that may work with as many brain cells these people have lost. Is just have you bought meth over the last month and a half? There's been a recall.
And
bring it to MPD.
And we've seen police stations try that before. We've seen them post on their social media, like, bring on over your drugs. We'll test it for you. And I assume that usually they're not dumb enough to try that. But this guy,
Florida man, is
on his very own. He contacted the police to try to get his meth tested. So now we're at story 6.5.
All right.
It's where I give you half the story.
Uh-huh.
You try to fill in the other half of it. Sometimes it's really easy to fill in that other half of the story.
Okay.
Sometimes it's more difficult. So researchers in St. Louis are willing to pay volunteers $3,500 apiece to stay at a hotel turned testing space for up to 12 days.
Mm-hmm.
For 6.5 stories, what are these researchers testing that they would be willing to pay participants $3,500 to take part?
Duh.
What's that?
Meth.
Yeah.
It's right there.
They put it right there.
They've got some bad meth, and they're going to have people come in and say, what is your reaction to the meth?
I teased that one up for you.
Is this bad meth? Should we have a recall of this bad meth?
Yeah, actually, they've got a lot of cows in there. They're holding another sexiest cow contest.
Oh, gosh, no.
They want to
have people in there for 12 days
judging. Actually, Sean, they're testing the effectiveness, and after I tell you this, you'll have to tell me how much it would cost for you to do this. They're testing the effectiveness of flu vaccines by giving the test subjects either a flu shot or a placebo, and they follow that up by a good old dose of the flu virus through a nasal spray.
Oh, man. For $3,000?
Yeah,
$3,500. I'm actually torn on this one because there's part of me that is there a job to go work, an extra job? I'll always go do that.
Yeah.
But I so dearly hate having the flu. $3,500.
They're spraying they're using a nasal spray.
You're going to get it.
It's like you're spraying someone else's flu. I mean, it's disgusting.
But it's $3,500.
And you get to hang out with, all these other people that are doing the same testing. I think they said they have some board games for you for the 12 days.
But if you're lucky enough that you've gotten the vaccine and if you roll the dice, right, then it's going to work. And people get the vaccine, say they're sick for like a day or so or something like that, and then they're good.
Yeah.
3,500?
Yeah. Oh, I'm doing it.
I think I'm doing
it right now.
I think
it.
I'm doing it too. They
observe the volunteers for flu symptoms such as fever, runny nose, sneezing, coughing. We know all those. Then the extended stay research unit will repeatedly test their blood for signs of the virus. And so
when we're out for a couple weeks, y'all, that's Dalton and I've gone to get paid to get the flu. 6.5 stories.
$3,500 richer.
Cha-ching. All right, more Midday Mobile next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. And glad to have Richard Taylor from Taylor Martino, senior partner Taylor Martino, back in with us. And lots to talk about here. I want to get to this one, though. I heard this discussion that y'all were not only the attorney for a lot of folks, you're the lawyer's lawyer or the attorney's attorney. Now, Richard, what does that mean?
Well, what that means is that, we have a very large, experienced staff of attorneys and support groups and investigators. And unlike other law firms who may have a one- or two-man operation or a staff of one, when they get cases, they'll send them to us. So a lot of our business comes from other lawyers because we have a specialty and we have an experienced team of lawyers who spend time with folks. And so lawyers send us cases. Even the advertising lawyers, billboards and TVs, they're friends of mine. And when they get catastrophic cases or big cases, they'll send them to us. So we have a lot of lawyers sending us cases
because of our experience.
Yeah. So, it's kind of like the practice of medicine. You go to the general practitioner, and he sends you to an ear specialist, and you go to the ear specialist, and he sends you to the left ear specialist. So, we have a specialty.
You even have a left ear specialist, you said. Yeah,
pretty much. But we do have some cases in our office where we have a niche and a specialty, and other lawyers know that. And so, that's why you get the term a lawyer's lawyer, is that the other lawyers call us, send us their clients or cases, or ask for our help because we've got the experience and the resources to take on big, hard cases.
Yeah, and I learned something new there, Richard. And I also was thinking about this with specialty. So many ways that somebody can have a loss out there. And if you don't have it, the attorney's got to know more than probably the injured party here, and for sure more than the person that did the thing that injured your client, about whatever it is, whatever widget or whatever job it is or location. You've got to study that and imagine, I'm not saying how many 30 years, how many decades you've been doing this, but you've had enough time to learn. I mean, you learn these things that are, whether it be construction or whether it be automobiles or any of the other specialties.
Yeah, as a lawyer over 30 years, I have become very familiar with a lot of different areas of life. Machines, how do they work? I've got a machine at the state docks, very complicated machine. You got to get to know that. A car, sometimes you're in a wreck and the seatbelt didn't work, then you got to become an expert on seatbelts. And so, yes, there's lots of areas, but folks that get hurt sometimes don't know why or how they got hurt. Something failed. So people just come in and they're injured, they're permanently injured, or their loved one is dead, and they come to us and let us figure out what caused it.
That goes back to a conversation you and I had last week about the difference, the different kind of attorneys out there and lawyers out there. That with Taylor Martino, people get that big interview. I mean, you talk about bringing the family in, bringing everybody in, talking about what happened if the injured person's there or the family of the deceased person, because you can hear something in what we may not know that something that happened that we're telling you about was relevant to the case, but you do. I mean, through these years of being a specialist at all these different specialties.
That's right. At our office, whenever we get a new case, we get the client to come in, bring their family, and we spend sometimes hours interviewing and talking to them, not only about the accident, but about how has it affected your family, how's it not only financially but the relationships in your family. So and then we go into great detail on the accident, because a lot of times folks will tell you something about an accident that us we as lawyers will latch onto and know that somebody's responsible. Somebody should be held accountable, and the client may not know. So that's.
So it seems like the details are the key, because, I mean, Ed Rowan's been in here, Ben Kern's been in here. They both say, attention to detail, Sean, attention to detail. I said, I got an idea. That probably comes from the senior partner at Taylor Martino. It seems like there's a theme there.
Yes, yes. I got 30 years, and I guess Ed's got in the teens, and Ben's got, you know, several years. And, yes, that's something that I've instilled in the lawyers in our office is spend time with the clients. Get into the details, and we'll have, you know, a paralegal and investigator sit in on the meeting, and you know, the lawyers are barking off, you know, go do this, go do that, right. Go research this, and go out and get these statements. And so, yes, when you come into our office, you're going to get personal service. You're going to get our attention.
Well, that's also how you get people made whole, or at least attempt to make them whole, right? I mean, you're going to hear something that, once again, I think about this from the first time I heard it. I think Ed was talking about it, that this longer narrative form versus filling out some sheet at some cattle call, that there's things that we're going to tell you in that interview that we may not know are these important things, but y'all do. And this is why, I mean, it's so encouraging that you have those long meetings with people.
Yes, yes. You've got to spend time with your clients. I mean, you know, I had a client come in, and the wife was telling me how he had changed. And after further conversation, I know from prior experience, he had a brain injury. It wasn't a traumatic. It was traumatic caused by an accident. But what she was describing was symptoms of a brain injury.
But
that was
she
permanent.
She
said he gets so mad, he's so irritable, he can't remember to do this, he can't remember to do that. And I just know from past experience of becoming an expert on brain injury.
Specialty, right, yeah.
You know, that your husband has a brain injury.
Wow.
And it's permanent, and it's not severe where he's, you know, laying in the bed a vegetable.
Right.
But what he has is permanent, and that memory loss is going to be with him forever, and that irritability that, you know, he needs help. And so, but you only know that from when you sit down and you spend time with him. And that just happened just last week, that wow. The wife was telling me all these details, and I said, that's a brain injury. So we get him to specialists, get him a neuropsychological test, and get him in the right hands.
And that's why details are important.
Details are important, yes.
People want to get an appointment to talk with you or anybody else at Taylor Martino and talk about those details of their case. How do they do it?
Well, the best way is come downtown and knock on my door.
I like that.
But you can go online and Google Taylor Martino or call us downtown, 251-433-31, and come down and see us.
All right. Richard Taylor, thank you for your time. Senior partner Taylor Martino, Richard Taylor, right here on FM Talk 106.5.
No representation is made that legal services performed are greater than the quality of legal services of others.